Hello, everybody from around the world. Everybody tuning in today. This is your host, DJ 1UP, for the most worthy video game talk show here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Combo Breaker. We are here once again, just as we are every week on Tuesday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And this week is going to be a little different from all of the other shows that I've had. Well, actually, it's actually going to be the same as one of the other shows that I've already had. But pretty much, I have two special guests with me right now. I have another one coming up. Both, all three of them, very avid players of the game that I am going to be covering this week. And so I'm going to introduce them in just a bit, but for now, we're going to go over what we're going to be talking about in this show. Right now, I'm going to introduce the game that we're going to be talking about. So the game that we're talking about, if you can tell from the background music, is going to be, once again, Pokemon, one of my favorite games. This was definitely the first video game that I ever played. I remember getting a Game Boy when I was 4 or 5 years old and thinking, wow, I could bring my video games to church with me and just play them there. And then my mom said, no, you can't bring it to church, but you can play on the ride there. So I was pretty excited about that. I had never had that opportunity before because I always had a Nintendo that you had to plug in and just play at home. So super excited to talk about Pokemon once again. If you have been following the show since its beginning, you already know that my second show I had talked about Pokemon, but my guests and I were so excited and we felt like there could have been way more detailed discussion about Pokemon that we could have went over. And so I got them together again. I added another guest that who also plays Pokemon. He's actually the one who got me back into playing Pokemon when I started college. So that's going to be pretty exciting. Three special guests today. I think that's more than I've ever done ever in my radio career. So pretty excited for that. Before I continue, I just want to say thank you to all those tuning in, to my special guests. Thank you so much. And to also my family, my friends, to the family and friends of my special guests. I know they're tuning in right now, so shout out to you. You know who you are. And so this week, I'm going to go over the video game news, and then we're going to go straight into talk about Pokemon. So if you tuned into the show where we already talked about Pokemon, this is going to be Pokemon Part 2. This is definitely going to be way more extensive and into various details about Pokemon. I'm going to try and not define too many things. So if there is terminology that you are unfamiliar with as a listener, I'll try my best to explain within. But for the most part, if you need the info, go ahead and Google it. I won't be mad at you if you do that. So we'll try to explain as we go, but for the most part, we're trying to have a very detailed conversation about Pokemon. So in that last show, we actually left off at one point where we were naming the types of Pokemon and what our favorite Pokemon of that type was. So I think we're going to start with that once I introduce my special guest. But for now, we're going to bring in some news about Pokemon. Recently, Pokemon Go has just added another patch, I believe, and they added a new update. Once again, a lot of people have been complaining about how the tracking system is broken and how it's while some of the new updates are cool, I've heard many people and many reviews say, well, at the end of the day, you didn't fix your tracking system. And that's the one thing that a lot of people feel as though Pokemon Go needs to address. so that in order to, and even though we are here today bringing playing Pokemon Go, then if you are playing Pokemon Go, you'll find that they added these new updates that fix things such as how people fight within the Pokemon gyms, and they're also giving out new capture bonuses and revamped training for your Pokemon. In other Pokemon news, if you didn't already know, Pokemon Sun and Moon are going to be releasing next month, November 18, 2016. I actually got a little lowdown information from my local GameStop retailer. They said that the way pre-orders are going to work is that the people who pre-ordered are going to get the game first. They're going to get first dibs on the game, and they're not going to order a shipment of games that are non-pre-ordered. So if you are excited about Pokemon Sun and Moon and you don't want to wait a week or two after the release date to play it, I would definitely say you gotta go pre-order that game. And it's the 20th anniversary of Pokemon, and when a Pokemon game releases on a huge anniversary like this one, it's definitely one you're not going to want to miss out on. And honestly, if you have seen the new Pokemon and the new concepts that they're bringing into Sun and Moon, it's insane. It's definitely a Pokemon game that is completely, completely different from what we've seen before. So once again, if you're just tuning in, this is Combo Breaker, the most worthy video game talk show here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. We are talking about one of my favorite games of all time, which is Pokemon. If you've been tuning in to my past shows, you already know that I did a show about Pokemon, but since that show was, we felt like, my special guest and I felt like there was more to talk about in terms of Pokemon, so we're all back here again today to talk about Pokemon. And so let's get into that. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and introduce my special guests, bring them into the show right now. So I got my boy Kev here.
What's up?
And I got my boy Jacob here as well.
Hey guys.
So once again, if you have tuned in, you're already familiar with these two voices. I got another special guest coming in a couple minutes here, and it's definitely going to be an exciting talk about Pokemon. So leading off from what we left out on before, we were actually naming our favorite Pokemon based on what type that I ask you about. So say fire type, someone said Charizard. And yeah, so we're going to restart that, and we're going to cover the whole, I believe it's 17 types, 18 now because of the fairy, and we'll just go from there. So let us start with the normal type. So go ahead and pick your favorite Pokemon and tell me why.
I would say it would be a cross between Pidgeot and Pyroar. I always like Pyroar because it was a primary normal and secondary fire. I always know normal as like a secondary type. And Pidgeot's just a classic normal type. The very first regional bird of Kanto. So yeah, it's my favorite.
I'd have to say mine is Eevee. Just because, you know, you had to choose what you wanted to do with that specific Pokemon, and it was almost like when you're faced with a starter position where you can only have one, you can't have any others unless you start trading within the game. Eevee was the same thing. And since they've come out with more evolutions, it makes it even tougher to decide. So that's probably mine.
All right, awesome. So I just had one of the other special guests that I was talking about. He just got into the studio right now. So let me introduce all of you to my friend Daniel.
What's going on?
And he, I already mentioned this, but he wasn't here when I mentioned it. But Daniel, you actually got me back into playing Pokemon during college. I had let that go in high school. And then when I came back and you had your DS, when we came to college and you had your DS and you would bring it into my room at the residence halls, I'd just be like, man, I gotta get into that again.
Yeah, that was because you had, what was it, X or Y?
Yeah, that was the year X and Y came out. I got Y, I think.
Yeah, and because I was so late on it, the last game I played was like Ruby and Sapphire. So when I saw you play it, I was like, man, I gotta check out this new 3D stuff.
Awesome. So I just actually asked both of these two a question. Our first segment here is going to be talking about Pokemon types and what our favorite Pokemon is in those types. So I just asked them about normal type. Jacob said Eevee. Kev said Pyroar. It was a tie between Pyroar and Pidgeot or Pidgeotto?
Pidgeot.
So go ahead and tell me what your favorite normal type Pokemon is.
There's a lot of good normal types, but I think my favorite one is Smeargle.
Oh.
I mean, among, you know, learning about it through competitive play, like when you teach it, well, it learns Sketch, right? Every time it ranks up every 11 levels. Mm-hmm. And then you can have you can play doubles and then have Darkrai do Dark Void. And then it's a good setup Pokemon, so that's why I like it a lot.
Definitely. So I feel like Smeargle is one of those Pokemon that you can really mold into what you want it to be. I've seen people use it as a sweeper, and for those that don't know, a sweeper is a Pokemon that can come in and just destroy a whole team.
It's gonna get real technical.
Yeah, it can. I've seen Smeargle come in as a sweeper, as a healer, because they can literally learn every move with Sketch. So
yeah,
my favorite normal type Pokemon has to be Snorlax.
Tops.
They just added a move. I think they just added it. I'm not sure. But it's called Heavy Slam. And it's based on the damage output is based on the Pokemon's weight. So when you when you have Snorlax with Heavy Slam and then it's a normal type move, so it gets the stab, which is the same type attack benefit. That's literally two times the damage plus his weight. So it's really disgusting when you got a Snorlax on your team. All right, so we are going to get into our first break, and then we're going to continue the list of Pokemon and our favorite Pokemon within those types. So thank you all for listening. Once again, you're tuned into Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. This is the Most Worthy Video Game Talk Show, Combo Breaker, and I'm your host, DJ1UP. We'll be right back. Thank you. Hello, everybody that's tuned in. Welcome back. This is Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I'm your host, DJ 1UP, and I bring to you the most worthy video game talk show, Combo Breaker. I'm here with three special guests. You guys want to say what's up?
Yo.
What's going on?
Hey.
So I got my friends here with me on my show today because we are talking about R4's favorite video game of all time, Pokemon. And so if you tuned in before, you already know that I brought them here to talk about Pokemon, but that show, we felt like we could have went way more in depth into Pokemon, and that's what we're going to be doing for the rest of the day today. So please stay tuned. It's going to be a fun show. We've already talked about different Pokemon news. Pokemon Sun and Moon, November 18, 2016. Pre-order that because my local GameStop retailer told me that you should probably pre-order it because they're not going to get any more shipments until a week after. So pre-order it, pre-order it, pre-order it. That's my news.
Isn't there a... Don't they give away like a Munchlax or something?
Yeah.
Do they? Yeah. I didn't know about that. So pre-order it, get a Munchlax. If you had heard us before you tuned in, you know that my favorite normal type is Snorlax, so I'm definitely going to pre-order it now. So we are going to get back to our segment, which was I'm going to give a type, and then each of us are going to name our favorite Pokemon of that type and why. All right, so the next type is fighting type. Jacob, you want to start?
Fighting type's kind of tough. Fighting's got a lot of good ones. My classic one always comes down to Hitmonlee. I don't know why, but between those two, Hitmonlee, Hitmonchan, especially because they were inspired by real martial artists,
Bruce Lee and
you can't beat the classics.
Jackie Chan. Yep, I agree.
My favorite fighting type would have to be Blaziken, honestly. One of the coolest fire starters, and the first one to be fire and fighting. Kind of started the stampede.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What about you, Daniel?
Fighting. I gotta go with Machamp. Man, Machamp is the man. I don't know. When they did Gen 1, I mean, we were all kids when that came out, and I thought he was, like, one of the legendaries or something, so he's just very menacing, and he has a pretty large pool of moves.
Yeah.
So, and he's pretty raw in Pokken Tournament, so.
Really?
There's that, too.
I've never actually gotten the chance to play Pokken Tournament, so we need to get on that one time. I actually really love Machamp, the whole concept of that evolution line, because they have a belt. That's supposed to...
The power belt
that's supposed to hold back how powerful they actually are.
Right.
So I really want to see what a Pokemon battle would be like if Machamp took off his belt. Because then, would he be as strong as a legendary? Who knows?
And he looks like Goro from Mortal Kombat. So, I mean, that's probably the main selling point.
Yeah. All right. Well, my favorite fighting type has got to be one of the OGs as well. Primeape. Mm-hmm. While I think he's pretty horrible in terms of battling, I just think his character in Pokemon was hilarious. He used to terrorize Ash to no other. It was like having another Charizard on the show, pretty much.
He
just took his hat and ran away. I remember when they tried to replace that role with Apom, and I was just like, that was pretty sad to me. So at the end of the day, I'm going to go with the Primeape, but I like your guys' choices. Definitely very extensive and different choices. Blaziken, love Blaziken too. All right, so moving on, we're going to talk about flying type now. I think I'll go first for that one because I have a pretty interesting one. My favorite flying type is Skarmory. I have a Skarmory on my team for competitive play, and I think it is one of the best. I forgot what it's called in terms of competitive play, but when he sets up spikes and stealth rock, and then you use whirlwind.
It's like, no, it's not staller, is it?
No. Yeah, it's like a...
It's like very defensive, though.
Yeah, very defensive. And what I like about it is that It's very quick, but at the same time has really high defense and special defense, so it's also very hard to dent it.
That's that steel type for you, yeah, too. So.
Yeah, I love Skarmory. Ever since Gen 2, I didn't know it existed until I got to the area in Gen 2 where you could catch it. And then when I saw it, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm replacing my flying type right now. I had a Noctowl, and I replaced Skarmory with that.
It's still a good choice.
Exactly. All right. What about all of you?
I'll go next. Flying type, strictly based off looks. When it first came out, I thought it was the coolest. Crobat. And it almost made every Zubat you run into bearable. Because you think, hey, maybe I can actually turn this into a Crobat. And like, it'll be worth my while. True. Yeah, and on Pokemon Go, I have almost 400 Zubat candies. Just hoping that one day they're going to update it and throw Crobat. The second gen. Oh, and I can get it the day of. That's just the goal.
It's funny that you mentioned that. All of the Zubats you meet makes that variable. There's so many Zubats in every cave in Pokemon. It's annoying. And especially when you're just trying to get out of the cave and move on with the story. And then every time. Or if you're trying to hunt for a rare Pokemon. I remember in Gen 1, I was looking for an Onix. But every time in Mount Moon, I would just run into a Zubat. And it would make that excruciating awful noise right now. The high pitched scream of death, and I was, oh my goodness, I remember as a kid I would get so frustrated my mom would have to send me back to my room and banish me from the Game Boy for a bit. Alright, so back to flying types.
So my favorite would have to be a tie between Braviary and Noivern, only because I just thought it was a cool how it's the only Pokemon and Noibat to be primary flying type and dragon secondary type. Every other flying type is either normal and then secondary flying or something like that. I just thought Braviary reminded me of like Captain America or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, kind of like a bald Star. Eagle type. Yeah.
Yeah, those are some good ones. I think my favorite one is definitely Togetic.
Nice.
It's fairy and flying. I don't know. It's so cute and so. And it knows metronome, right? So if you want a little randomness in your. Maybe not competitive play. Actually, that wouldn't be a good idea. But it's just. I just think it looks really cool. And I loved its whole evolution line. So just to end up with it flying, that's just. Makes it complete.
Yeah, I never thought that Togepi. First, when I got a Togepi, I didn't think it evolved at all because I saw the Pokemon game and Misty had a Togepi.
Yeah.
So I just never thought that it would evolve because she never evolved it, but no one ever evolved their Pokemon in that game.
True that.
So, in that show. So, but would you say Togetic over Togekiss?
Oh, yeah. No, Togetic. I like
Togetic, yeah.
It's just like the middle form, you know what I mean?
Definitely.
Like War Turtle in between Blastoise and Squirtle.
Exactly, you know? Exactly.
This is the underappreciated evolution.
Exactly. I know. The middle ones are always underappreciated for some reason. Yeah. Even in life.
Hashtag deep.
Alright. The next Pokemon type, let's talk about poison types. Your favorite poison type and why.
Should I go first? You know, I always loved Nidoking. And if I had to tie those, I think I would have to say in the later generations, I was a really big fan of Krogunk. Like, he was a reliable one to pick up right off the gate, and like it seemed pretty useful. I mean, it wasn't one that you took all the way in, but I definitely enjoyed using him.
And poison fighting was something that I don't think we had a lot of.
It was the first of its kind.
First of its kind. So that's a pretty deep, because fighting types hit hard, but then when you add poison types that can learn toxic, you have Toxic and Bullet Punch in one squad, and oh god, it's just Krogunk is scary. Alright, what about you two?
I would have to say Nidoking. He's just an OG, and he's poison and ground, just a heavy hitter. He's just dope.
I like Scoliopede.
Ooh.
It's a newer gen. I picked up on it late. I found it through GTS. But it's just, I don't know, it's just, its design is cool. I think a close second would probably be Arbok, just a classic. So, yeah, to be honest, I don't really use poison types that much, but those are the two.
If I had to go with a favorite poison type, I would pick Jacob's favorite flying type, which is Crobat. Every game from, I think it was Black and White or from Diamond and Pearl, I've always caught a Zubat and turned it into a Crobat. So I think they're very reliable because they're very quick. And they also have that poison type, which if you have a poison type Pokemon, you can whittle down any Pokemon that you go against. And I think that's why I would say poison is probably one of my favorite types.
Have you seen in Omega Ruby or Alpha Sapphire, they have this thing where you go to a secret base and it's a secret island, basically, and it's five different trainers. Mm-hmm. And you can only get it through scanning a QR code online. And then you go against three Blissey's, all level 100, and they all have this thing called Toxic Orb. Right, so it inflicts poison on itself. Mm-hmm. I know that's kind of like, that's the only like way it's connected, but anyway, so then when you beat the Blissey's, you get like 30,000 EXP, so it's like a form of boosting, I guess.
Okay,
but then, you know, then it makes you think, like, why would they make a Toxic Orb in the first place? And then
that's true. Doesn't the Toxic Orb heal poison type Pokemon when they hold it?
I didn't think of that.
Yeah, I think that's what it does when poison type Pokemon hold it.
Oh, they're using it the wrong way, but in a good way.
Well, I'm pretty sure they did that to help people out. Definitely. So if it has a Toxic Orb, a level 100 Blissey, that's almost 400 HP probably.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So yeah. I could see how the Toxic Orb would help. Yeah. All right, moving on. Let's talk about ground types. I think I'll go first for this one. My favorite ground type has to be the first Pokemon ever. Rhydon, and well, I'll go with Rhyperior because Rhyperior is pretty crazy. I used to think Rhydon was a great Pokemon back in the first generations, and then when they went ahead and added another evolution to that line, I was very happy and very excited to use it. Funny story, my friend sent me a Rhydon holding the item that it needed to evolve, not knowing that it would turn into a Rhyperior. And when I got it, he wanted it back, but I mean, we had already traded. Eventually I gave it back to him, but I used it for a couple weeks or so.
He even had the item on it that it needs to evolve.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Awesome. It's quite a surprise.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about your favorite ground types.
I'll go first. Second, I like Aggron. One of my favorite games was Ruby, and I remember finding Aeron, and it's like a little Jason mask almost, yeah. Like a little steel type. Yeah. And I like couldn't figure out. I was like, that's kind of cool, I guess. And I got it, but I never really used it. And then I saw Laron, and I thought Laron was super cool. And Aggron even only gets better. And then Mega Aggron is sweet.
I think Aggron's a steel and rock.
Is it steel and rock? Yeah. I thought it was steel and ground.
Nah, I think it's steel and rock.
Oh, well, then my bad.
It is a steel and rock type.
With Earthquake.
Yeah, that's
well be a ground type.
Exactly. I was thinking Earthquake. And you can actually teach Aggron Blizzard, Fire Blast, and Thunder if you were curious about it. So.
Really? That's a very versatile Pokemon. Yeah.
Well, then come back to me. So
yeah, we'll come back to you on that one.
That's a slip up.
Well,
on
now
me.
We know your favorite Steel type Pokemon.
My favorite ground type would definitely have to be Swampert, like no question. Just because it was the first of its kind of water and ground, and it was a starter.
Actually, I could dispute that. Wishcash and Barboach.
Oh, Quagsire.
And Quagsire.
We're
both.
Wait, Wishcash is below. Or?
It's Generation 2.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wishcash
no, and
I swear it was
Hoenn. So those are two water ground types. So is. Quagsire.
Yeah, I knew
Whooper.
Quagsire was Johto. But yeah, and plus, I just like the move Muddy Water. I didn't know if it was a ground or a water type move, but it was cool. Yeah, it was my first starter when I got Ruby.
And is it like when you do doubles and you do Muddy Water, it doesn't damage? You know how it's like Surf, it damages everyone?
Yeah.
If you do Muddy Water, it only damages your opponents. Yeah. So it's a competitive plus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So Muddy Water, it doesn't have the Surf effect?
No, yeah, so it's just
interesting. And it lowers accuracy too. But it is a less accurate move. Did you guys know that?
I did not.
Like, was it 90?
Yeah, it's at a 90 rather than 100. That's why a lot of people use Surf, because it's more, but it still hurts your opponent in doubles. What about you, Daniel? What's your favorite ground type?
It's a cute one. I love Diglett. It's just, you know, growing up and seeing it and you question, what is this really? Like, well, seriously, what is this thing? It's like a whack-a-mole, you know? It's like, how is this considered a Pokemon? And then there was all those theories about, like, what is underground, under the Diglett. And then there's a picture on DeviantArt. I'm sure you guys probably seen it. It's just this tiny head, and then it looks at the picture of him underground. It's just like a ginormous,
like almost
eight pack body,
like, almost like the Kraken.
Yeah, ultra. He's like ultra ripped. It's like a tree trunk. Yeah, that's why I love Diglett. It's just very mysterious.
Have you seen the theory where Diglett's nose is actually its mouth with a tooth?
Yeah. I've seen that. You can't unsee it.
It's hard to unsee it. Yeah. Look at a picture of Diglett, and it looks like it's just opening its mouth with one tooth right here.
That's not its nose, though?
I'll look up a picture right now. A lot of people are saying it's still his nose, or Diglett's nose, but...
Just another way to look at it.
Just another way to look at it. Wait, there's no shine on that one. There you go.
So it looks like in Super Mario World 3... Yeah. You know those hills in the green hill zone?
Yeah.
Wait, no, I'm thinking Sonic. But no, there were some hills in Super Mario World.
The ones that had eyes, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. All right, Jacob, let's come back to you since you weren't able to name a ground type.
All right, Golem.
Golem?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, nice. Why Golem?
He just looks cool. He was one of those Pokemon in the first generation that you were like, I need to get that one.
Yeah, which is crazy because in first gen... The only way to get Golem was to trade. And back then, I did not have the means to trade anybody, so I stuck with a Graveler, I stuck with a Kadabra, I stuck with a Machoke.
And a Haunter.
And then my cousin got the game, and a whole new life was introduced to me with these new Pokemon. So that's another thing about evolution, is there are so many ways you could do it. There's leveling up, there's trading for evolutions, there's different... Stones like a fire stone or a thunder stone could help evolve a Pokemon. So if honestly, if you love role-playing games and you love an adventure, Pokemon is the way to go. So moving on, what is your favorite rock type Pokemon?
Aerodactyl.
Ooh.
And I'm super biased towards the first generation because it was my favorite, but can't beat Aerodactyl.
And that's interesting because you said Ruby was your first game and you liked the first generation the best.
Yep.
Interesting. What about you, Kev?
I would definitely have to say Tyranitar. No question. It's self-explanatory, yo. Like, what's the word? It begins with the H. It's for every region has it something legendary. Or no, it begins with the P.
Pseudo-legendary.
It was a pseudo-legendary for Johto.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, Tyranitar, I think, is one of those Pokemon that you see and you're like Jacob said about Golem, you see it, you gotta have it.
Yeah,
that,
definitely.
Well, I remember getting, because I think Larvitar was only available in Silver back then.
Word.
I think. I could be wrong. Larvitar. Was it only Silver back then?
Oh, I couldn't say.
I bought Gold back then, and I remember wanting a Larvitar, and I think I looked it up, and there were no Larvitar available in my generation, in my video game. So back when I got Heart Gold and GTS came, I was so happy because I was able to trade for one, and that was awesome. And Daniel, your favorite rock type?
So my favorite rock type is a toss-up between Kabutops and Onix. I know we're going on a trend of like Gen 1, Gen 2.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Their form's so pure and it's very nostalgic. Kabutops, he just looks... He's a BAMF for sure. And with Onix, he just is from the first Pokemon gym. Yeah, Rock Snake. And then I love his evolution to Steelix. So can't really get much better than that.
Interesting. So, my favorite rock type has to be the evolution of Nosepass, Probopass. For some reason, all of these weird Pokemon, they really appeal to me. And Probopass literally just looks like a rock with a huge nose on it. If you've seen the Easter Island statues...
He does look like that.
He looks exactly like an Easter Island statue. And
with the face of the dad from American Pie. Exactly. Like, put it on top of it.
He's got a big old stash. It's like an Easter Island statue with a Mario mustache on it.
I think it's silly.
Hey, listen though. He's being honest. Any attack that you throw at Probopass, it will not hit as hard just because it's a steel and a rock type. So unless it's a fighting type move, where in that case it's pretty much, as they say, screwed.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right, so we just finished seven different types, or six different types. So we're going to go into our next break, and then we're going to continue with the segment. So thank you for listening. Continue to tune in. This is your host, DJ 1UP, with your most worthy video game talk show, Combo Breaker, here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. We will be back in just a few minutes. Thank you. Hello everybody from around the world. Welcome back to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. This is your host, DJ 1UP, and I am excited to bring you the most worthy video game talk show here on Penguin Radio, Combo Breaker. And I am here with three of my friends, and we're talking about Pokemon. We're having a great conversation about Pokemon. We realized that the segment that we started with is getting to be a bit long, so we're going to speed it up by saying our favorite type and our favorite Pokemon from that type. If you were just tuning in, we were literally naming every type and then what our favorite Pokemon from that type was. So now we're going to switch it up. I'm going to name a type and name my favorite Pokemon from that type. They're going to do the same, and then we have some questions prepared that I think will be very entertaining for the rest of the night. So please continue to stay tuned. Penguin Radio. All right, so do either of you want to start, or should I start?
Take it away.
Yeah, I'll start. All right, so my favorite type of all time has to be ice types. And my favorite ice type of all time has to be Weavile. Oh, and yeah. I just remember, I think the move is Beat Up. For every Pokemon that you have in your team, it hits. So say you have six Pokemon, you get six hits on that Pokemon.
Really?
Yeah. Man, Beat Up was an insane move. I don't think it's allowed in competitive play because of how crazy it is. Or because you know how competitive play is usually 3-on-3?
Right.
So it's not really all that effective in competitive play. But in regular play, you have six Pokemon on your team and you use Beat Up, that's a sweeper right there. So Weavile, ice types, my favorite type of Pokemon, and my favorite type. What about all of you?
I mean, mine's super generic. It's what everyone else likes. It's fire. It's Charizard. It's a classic one. It's the one everyone thinks of. It's the coolest Pokemon card you can find holographic, in my opinion. But just for the sake of not being generic, I'm going to throw one out there and say that Scyther is one of the coolest bug Pokemon, just because it's probably the only Pokemon that I will say, I'm not going to evolve this.
Yeah.
I actually think this is just as cool, even though Scizor is one of the coolest ones you can get
really?
To. I don't think I would ever hold back on any other evolution except that one. I mean, think about
really?
It. Would you not evolve any of the other Pokemon?
True.
Interesting.
Did you also That's know true. That if you evolve your Scyther, the base stats don't change whatsoever?
Really?
I did not know
it
that.
It does not. Scyther's stats
just
stay
as
the
strong
same.
As Scizor?
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
That's good to know.
And you also can't cuddle Scyther. I mean, look at it.
Yeah, that's true.
Among other things. That's the one thing you consider.
Mine.
Mm-hmm. My favorite type would definitely have to be dragon. Definitely between dragon and grass. So my favorite dragon type would have to be, I don't know if this is fair, but I'm going to say it's a toss between Mega Charizard X and Rayquaza.
Ooh.
Yep. And my favorite grass type would have to be definitely Sceptile. That's probably my favorite Pokemon ever.
Who turns into a grass dragon for his mega evolution.
Yeah.
So that's two of your
that
favorite,
is
types,
two of my
right
favorite
there.
Types right there. So yeah.
So, my favorite is definitely Psychic.
Mm.
And it has to be the GOAT, Mewtwo. It's just so cool. I mean, we've
respect,
all seen Mewtwo
respect.
Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Man, with that armor though.
Dude. Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Mewtwo real quick in that movie, because have you heard of the Japanese dub compared to the English dub?
Of that same movie? No.
Because in the Japanese dub, it's crazy because Mewtwo is the good guy. And he's the one that's saying, even though I'm a clone, I'm still as good as you. But Mew's the one belittling him because he's a clone. Insane, right?
That's quite the plot
twist.
They
had to, but for the English version, because there has to be good guy, bad guy, in the Japanese version, it was definitely convoluted as to who's good and who's bad, because Mewtwo and Mew, they're at war with each other pretty much, so there was no real victors. In the English version, to appeal to, you know, children and people our age pretty much, they created the story where Mew was the good guy and Mewtwo was the bad guy, because he partook in pretty much hurting a lot of people.
Well, I think on a deeper level, especially, well, when we were kids, we didn't think that deep, but then reflecting back on it, he was just having an existential crisis,
exactly.
Right? Because he was created by humans, and then he's a Pokemon, but then he's just as intelligent as us.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's just that whole duality and ambiguity between that.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't think it'd get deep with Pokemon, but
no,
the first movie they come out with just so happens to question, like, your purpose in life.
Crazy. Crazy to me.
Definitely.
Yeah. And the whole time, Ash is over here crying.
Yeah, the whole time. Yeah, no. And, no, well, Pikachu made you cry.
Oh, that's
yeah,
sad.
Exactly.
Pikachu made you cry.
When
they were fighting,
yeah.
The Pikachu's fighting the clone, and then...
Spoilers.
Yeah. Oh, snap. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
It's okay. It's like 20 years old.
Check out Mewtwo Strikes Back by Pokemon. Great movie. Check it out in Japanese if you're on Mewtwo's side. If you're on Mew's side, check it out in English.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So we have a few questions lined up today that my friend Jacob brought, and we're all going to discuss those questions for the remainder of the time that we have. So, Jacob, go ahead and ask your first question.
The first one is, no matter who you are, no matter how young you were or how good you were at any point, there was one gym that you couldn't beat for a couple tries. I mean, you'd go for it, you'd change things up, you'd still end up back in the PC, you'd still end up buying super potions and revives, and you just couldn't do it for a while. Which one was it for you? And it can be any game. Will it minus the Elite Four? 1-8 gym.
All right, sounds good. Do you have an answer?
Mine was definitely the Twins, the 7th gym, and Ruby and Sapphire.
Okay.
Because of Claydol.
Definitely.
I don't know why, but it seems like no matter all the Pokemon that I am, that just my personality is drawn to, just are destroyed by Psychic and Earthquake. Just Earthquake in particular. You know, my Blaziken would always be destroyed by Earthquake. All my other
types, which is also a fighting type, so
yeah.
It would get destroyed by the Psychic too.
Yeah, so it just, you know, I always got murked by that Claydol. The, you know, Lunatone and Solrock weren't even half of it. It was a Claydol that always got me.
Interesting. What about you, Kev or Daniel?
I would say mine, definitely Flannery. It's also Hoenn. Fire type, right? Yeah, I don't know. I always like to start with the grass type,
mm-hmm.
just because it's the most underappreciated one. No,
mm-hmm.
I'm just kidding. That's not the only reason. But, you know, I don't know. Going up against Flannery is just an uphill battle,
mm-hmm.
because, No. If I'm only... You know how when your starter Pokemon is the tank, essentially, or it's the carry, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you're trying to carry with a Gravile, and then going against Flannery, is not going to work.
I can only imagine.
Torkoal did cause some grief.
Torkoal was...
It's bad.
Yeah. It's not a fun time. Especially if you start with Treecko.
Treecko, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Mine would definitely have to be Wallace into Topolis for
All Hoenn.
And Ruby. Ruby and Sapphire. Not just because he was hard, he was the last gym and he's like definitely the hardest one, but the puzzle to get to him was the worst ever. I had the worst time with that. Like, and I had so much pride when I was playing that because I didn't want to look up any cheat codes. I wanted to do it myself, and it was so hard, dude. It was so hard.
I remember picking up Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, and I got to that gym, and memories just flashed back to me of when I was a kid, and I was, oh my goodness, because in Omega Ruby and Sapphire they made it harder.
Yeah, they did.
So
they
made it distinctly harder. Then every time you fall, you have to battle again. So it just wasn't fun. But you got a lot of training out of that, which is awesome.
You did.
My least favorite gym, or the one that was hardest to me. What, especially when I was younger, oh my goodness, had to be Whitney.
Yes.
The normal type gym in Generation 2. And it's funny because when you beat her, she cries. But bro, she made me cry way more times than I made her cry. Like, she deserved it. I was super happy because she has a Miltank, and Miltank is a tank, literally. And it can heal itself. So every time that I got it down, even when I had a fighting type, every time I got it down, I think that in that town, Goldenrod City, in the main shop or whatever, you can trade for a Machop, and that was the way to beat her. And so I ended up trading for the Machop and just blasting through her, which was amazing because before that, she would just destroy all my Pokemon because they had Attract too. And back then, I was the type of kid to only get male Pokemon, and she had all female Pokemon. And every time she used a track, it's a 50% chance of missing. I feel like it was a 100% chance for me. It was not fun at all. So that was my most difficult gym. But interesting choices from all of you. This Hoenn, I think, was definitely a very extensive game. It was different because Gen 2, you can actually go into Generation 1 and still fight all of the other gyms. But in Hoenn, they brought a completely different aspect to it.
Yeah, they had those other things, like, what is it, the Masuda method, right?
Yeah.
Or hashing eggs.
Yeah.
Getting more technical now.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was something about Hoenn. I think it was just for the right age to understand the games finally.
And it was cool because it came out it was the first of the Advanced Generation.
Yeah.
So many people our age, if they didn't get into it in Generation 1 and 2, I think that's where they started. So, I could see that. Alright, we got a few more questions here.
Alright, so I'm going to ask, which generation had the best legendaries up until now?
Alright, so when we answer this question, let's say what region and why you think so.
Oh man.
I definitely have to say Hoenn. Just because of the trio of Rayquaza, Groudon, and Kyogre. Like, growing up, seeing those two, all those elements of land, sea, and sky, like, interconnect. It was just really cool, especially, like, in the graphics of Ruby, how they portrayed that whole battling scene, and when Rayquaza just interfered, like, an emerald.
Mm-hmm.
That was just really dope to me. And Rayquaza is, one of my very favorite legendaries since the beginning, so, yeah.
Daniel?
Is Genesect Kalos region or Unova?
I don't remember.
Is it Unova?
Mm-hmm.
Just for that reason. Just because Genesect was just a deal breaker. I guess you could change its type by giving it a drive. I mean, it's similar to Arceus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Genesect definitely. Just for that reason, so.
Didn't you say one of your favorite Pokemon was Kabutops, too?
Yes.
So, isn't that a Kabutops? Isn't it?
Really?
It's like, encased in a, I don't know all of
if you ever see
the
comparison,
right?
It looks like a Kabutops with a cannon on top of
essentially
it.
Yeah,
essentially.
And I mean, and a shiny Genesect looks pretty.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, imagine getting your hands on a shiny Genesect. Jacob, you gotta answer this.
I like Gen 2. I think the three dogs were three super
dogs.
Sweet.
Which of those dogs were your favorite?
Oh, Suicune.
Suicune?
I don't know why, but it just seemed like it kicked so much butt. Suicune. And you gotta love Lugia and Ho. Like, they just look real cool. Like, there's no debating it. They're better than the three birds, in my opinion.
For the longest time, I thought Lugia was a first gen legendary.
Yeah, like, because of the movie. Because
of the movie. For 2000, like, he came in, and I was like, what?
I love how their origins are all connected. Mm-hmm. Like, how, what was it with Ho-Oh, Rose the Three? Yeah,
Rose the Three Dogs.
The Three Dogs, right?
And then Lugia was like the protector of the three birds. Right. So I think it's really cool. Gen 2 and Gen 1 were very definitely hugely interconnected. You could even, I mentioned this already, but you could go to both regions in Generation 2.
Right, right.
So
I thought that was awesome.
I always thought that was awesome too. I thought they were going to include that in Hoenn, where you could get on a ship and just go to Gen 2 or Gen 1. That would be
amazing.
If Pokemon ever decides to just disband and they release a game where you can play all of the games as one character, I think that would be a great way to end the series.
Did they do something like in Black and White, was it 2, I think? They had like a world championship where you can go against all the gym leaders.
What?
That was the only game I never played.
Yeah, that was the only game I never played either.
I never played either.
Interesting. I'm going to pick that up,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, it's a world championship, so then you go against your own gym leaders in that region, plus everyone previous, and then you can go against like Red.
Red?
What?
If I'm wrong, definitely correct me, but I think that's what happened. And this is all endgame stuff, so.
Nice. All right, well, I happen to think that the fourth generation has the best legendaries, just because I feel like that was definitely the generation where they introduced so many different groups of legendaries. You have the emotion trio, where Azelf, Uxie, and Mesprit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Darkrai is just the coolest legendary of all time. It might just be because I think it's sort of a mirror representation of my soul, but I think Darkrai is so cool, and I think Cresselia is really cool too. But
also a representation,
which is
soul.
Also a representation of the other side of my
and
soul.
Heatran
was, yeah. So there's so many.
That generation had a lot of legendaries.
It did,
like a lot.
You gotta give a hand to Heatran, right?
Yeah.
You didn't think he was a legendary. He's just kind of chilling in the cave, right?
Mm-hmm. And you can always go back and catch mm-hmm. another one if you defeat it. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I did not know
that. It's one of the few legendaries that has a gender.
Yeah.
A what? Mm-hmm.
So that's why a lot of people say it's up in the air whether it's like a mythical legendary.
Mm-hmm.
Also, another legendary that from that generation that I really like is Manaphy. Manaphy and Fionn. Because it was one of the first Pokemon that I remember getting Pokemon Ranger just so I could get a Manaphy.
True.
And then breed it into a Fionn. But Fionn wasn't all that at all. It was just
they weren't really much
at. Yeah.
You had them.
It's just like Celebi and Mew. They're not really all that great, but you just have them.
I love Giratina though. That was my favorite.
Oh yeah.
My favorite product of Sinnoh.
Yeah.
Would be Giratina.
Did you guys play Platinum?
I did play Platinum.
I did not.
So what was that with the Distortion World?
That was insane to me because it was literally going into a parallel universe where Giratina was the ruler.
Was there anything more to it, like a story-wise? Or
it was, you had to fix that world in order to fix. It was like the distortion world was leaking out into the regular world and causing havoc.
That's me.
And destroying. So remember how in Diamond and Pearl, the teams were going and destroying
space and time. Yeah.
Well, Giratina was destroying the regular world because those teams were destroying space and time.
I see.
So he saw the distortions within space and time, and he said, "Oh, here's my chance! Bang, come in!" And then you had to, as the character, you had to go into the distortion world and defeat him.
That's tight. And his origin form was dope.
Oh, his origin form when he turns into a bat. Or,
yeah.
Oh my goodness! It was like Batman Begins or something. But yeah, so great answers to that question. I believe Jacob has a few more for us.
Yeah, so these new games are putting out new forms of Pokemon called Alolan, if I'm pronouncing it right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably something that surprised me and definitely chipped at something I would have thought was really cool even when I was younger playing the games, because we always, I don't know, it just seemed like it should have been something that came out sooner.
Yeah.
I don't know, it just seemed like so simple, like, oh, I can't believe they took all this time to do it. But super stoked about it. My question is, if you had to pick a Pokemon and give it an Alolan type, a different type, what would it be?
Before we go on, the Alolan types are really cool because from what we've seen, most of the Pokemon that have an Alola form are first gen Pokemon. So I definitely see this as a way to appeal to their first gen players, people like us.
Or nostalgia train. Yeah.
They bring in regular Pokemon games, Vulpix is a fire fox. In Alola, it is an ice fox. Same with its evolution. As well as a cat Pokemon named Meowth, which is a normal type in Generation 1 and up to Generation 6. In this new generation, it's going to be a dark type. So it's going pretty much into the whole Darwinist type of evolution scheme where these Pokemon are literally adapting to their environment and because of that are exhibiting different characteristics. So Pikachu already has Raichu, its evolution already has its own Alola form where it adds a psychic type, so I can only imagine how that will affect the Pikachus in the region as well. So let's go on with this question. If you could see any Pokemon as an Alola form, what would it be?
I would have to say Nidoking and have it be ice and ground.
Ooh,
I think that'd be dope. Ice and ground.
Ice and ground, Nidoking. What about you, Dan?
So I love Lapras. So I can imagine Lapras being, it already looks like the Loch Ness Monster, right? So instead of just a pure water type, why don't you add a grass type? So maybe have
it. So it could get beyond the ground?
Look slimy or something. Ooh. Or maybe its horns elongated. Or even better, Lapras as a water fire type.
Have a volcano
on its back.
Ooh.
Man, there it is. Yeah, just because they're not all sticking to the Hawaiian Alolan thing, but mm-hmm. just that would fit.
Yeah,
that would just make a lot of sense.
I see that. And even if they were going with the Hawaiian theme, a volcano, Hawaii, the whole island was made by a volcano.
Right.
So it makes sense if there are Pokemon with volcanoes on their back.
Can you imagine a water fire dual type?
That would be it. They actually they're adding a new one. Volcanion is
Steam Eruption.
Yeah, Steam Eruption. Is that new or it's from the old generation?
Volcanion? That's Kalos.
Kalos? Okay. Never mind.
By the way, get that at GameStop. They just started that giveaway. So you just ask and they'll give you a scratcher card and then scratch the code and input it. So definitely get that. I think it ends end of
it
the
usually lasts a month.
Yeah, about the end of the month. Because they just ended with the Hoopa one.
Oh yeah. So I remember I was going to go to GameStop to get Hoopa, but I ended up not doing it. Yeah. What about you, Jacob?
I don't know. I think I have to go with Rapidash, and I'd love to see it in a dark ghost type, just because this kind of hits me in another childhood love, but I always was really big into Lord of the Rings, and if you watch Lord of the Rings, there's Ringwraiths. They've got these crazy dark black horses, and they're pretty cool, so I think it would be sweet to have Rapidash normally fire into a ghost or a dark.
Let's see.
Ghost and dark.
I would really, really, really like to see a Alola Charmander.
Yeah.
Which would also be ghost and fire. I want it. Okay, this is going to sound harsh, but a Charmander that pretty much lost its fire, but is still alive.
Oh, turns back into that episode, man.
Turns into a ghost.
Turns into a Cubone.
Ooh, which also has a new Alola form.
And it's cool.
It's a fire dancer, right?
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
All right, well, those are our answers. We're getting into the tail end of our show here today. Before I go on, have you seen the second evolutions for the new Pokemon, the new starters?
Yes, I have.
Are you disappointed or happy?
I am happy. I literally like all of them. And yeah, I'm still going with Litten, though.
Still going with Litten?
It's Team Litten. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I like the aspect of they're including human characteristics with the Pokemon, so it gives you like a deeper vibe and maybe an easier way to relate to the Pokemon, right? So Dartrix, which is Rowlet's evolution, going through a teen phase, so it's got a grown out hair and is struggling. And then there's Litten's, which is what Torracat, right?
Yeah.
And then he's headstrong and spoiled, right? And then there's Popplio with Brionne, who is very tragic if you think about it, right?
Yeah.
Because I think on the description on the website, it says something
right like, here. It sometimes keeps a smile, even,
right?
Yeah.
Even though it's like emotionally hurt or something, it keeps a smile on its face.
Wow. I didn't. I would have never thought about that, the whole teenage aspect of it.
Right. Wow. It just makes it, instead of just a Pokemon as an animal, it's a Pokemon as a relatable
human being.
Almost like a human being. Almost
like a human being. Interesting. All right. Well, we have hit our time today. Thank you all so much for listening. This has been a great show. Honestly, I feel like there's so much more that we could talk about. So if anything, expect a Pokemon Part 3 to come later in the semester. Thank you all once again for listening. This has been DJ 1UP with the most worthy video game talk show, Combo Breaker, here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Don't forget to tune in. I know I'm the last show tonight, so don't forget to tune in to all of the other shows that are coming this week, as well as all the other shows that are coming this week. So thank you all once again. Thank you to my special guests. I appreciate all of you. And let's get some food. Bye.